seems like everybody has an attitude of thanksgiving today. That's, I mean, at least from the sound of your voices, man, that's great. Because that's what we're doing today anyway. So it's good. It's great. Love to sing those songs together and to hear each other's voices. Couple of announcements here before we get going into communion. And the first one is that, so today we have a message just kind of focused in on giving thanks. And learning how to do that. I think it's a learned thing. But after that, starting in December, we'll be doing a series focusing in on Christmas, and specifically that verse in Isaiah 9:6 that talks about this, "For unto us a child is born," right? And then it goes on to say, "He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And so we're going to do a message on each one of those names. And so it's really going to focus in on Christ. I think it'll be a blessing not only to you, but I think to your friends and family. So be thinking about who you might want to invite to that series. I think it's, you know, Christmas is just another natural opportunity to talk about our faith with our family and friends. And inviting them to the church is also a natural thing, I think, at Christmas as well. So hopefully you can be thinking about that, and the Lord will prompt you with a name there. The other thing I want to mention to you is we have, you know, our theme this year is love your neighbor. And we don't want that just to be something that we talk about, like, you know, on that day when we go over what we're doing that year, right? We want it to be something that becomes a part of who we are. And so, you know, we have multiple opportunities this year. We did our Ghost Sunday, right, as a church. But now we have another opportunity to do this. Courtney and Philip Powers, they have a ministry called Blessing You Ministry. One of the things they do is to provide gifts for needy families and children of needy families during Christmas time. That's one of the things they do. And so what we want to do is just throw out to you the opportunity to be a part of that. And it's basically a simple process here is that they have a process of screening people that request need help, you know, for this. And then they put together like these gift tags that has the kid's name on it, their age, and some suggested gift ideas. And then they're going to be back here at this table afterwards the next few weeks. And if you're interested, you can pick up a tag or two, or maybe some of you might want to join together and do this. You can do that as a you know, a few people banding together to do this. And what you do is you go shopping for three gifts for each kid. Total price tag of all the gifts together, $50 or less. And then you get the gifts to the Powers, and I think that's right. Can they bring them here, right, on a Sunday or sometime? And then they will distribute them to the families. All right. So and these families are from the Central Ohio area. And so it's an opportunity for us to show our love for our neighbors in practical ways to make their Christmas a little bit better. So anyway, it's a great opportunity. So there's a table set up right up there, right next to the shoe boxes, and you can ask them questions or pick up a tag today, and go that way. Hopefully, a number of us will participate in it. So thank you guys for the opportunity. Appreciate it. I'd like to pray now for the shoe boxes. So a lot of you guys have brought those in. They're on the table back there for Operation Christmas Child, and I just want to dedicate those. So would you join me and let's just bow our heads and let's ask the Lord to really touch the children's lives who receive these. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for blessing us, and I think everybody here is in a situation where we're able to, you know, to give a gift like this. And so, Lord, we pray that each child that touches these boxes and receives that gospel tract in their own language, and also probably gets to hear it in their own language there through these follow-up programs. We pray, Lord, that each child would know and experience the love of Christ and that Jesus died for them on the cross so they could have eternal life and have an abundant life now. Lord, we pray, Lord, that many would be saved through this. Pray that you'd bless Samaritan's Purse Ministry and just for their heart to serve and to give. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would be glorified, Lord, through these gifts that are given. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so this morning. We're going to have a communion together, and it really kind of fits in with one of those, the Bible passage I'm just going to share with you briefly here, fits in with one of those songs, kind of about, you know, that glorious day, and there's a lot of kind of, you know, out of the darkness and into the light in that song, just giving us a visual of kind of what really happens when a person comes to faith. And I was thinking of this passage in Colossians, and it's part of Paul's prayer. It starts off in verse 9, Colossians 1:9. It says this: "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Then it says in verse 11, "being strengthened with all power." So one of the things he's praying is just their strengthening, spiritual strengthening, "with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So many, many things in those verses, but just want to, you know, just be reminded of the fact that, you know, when a person puts their faith in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, repents of their sin, turns to Jesus, right, as their Lord and forgiver, right, of their sin, turns to him, then what happens is, at that moment, they are transferred from the domain of darkness, it says, to the kingdom of light, or in another place, say, the kingdom of his beloved Son, right? So there's a total change in our lives, internally, what's going on, right? We receive the Holy Spirit when we believe, and so this thought that Paul shares here, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, right? It's not like we can qualify ourselves to go to heaven, right? None of us can be good enough because God requires holiness or perfection, and no one's ever going to meet that except for Jesus, right? And so what happens is when we put our faith in Jesus, his righteousness, it says, is put to our account. So it's like when we're saved, God looks at Jesus and saying, "Oh, you're united with him, and so his righteousness counts for you, even though I know you're a total screw up." You know, because he knows. God knows. I mean, you know, he's no idiot. He sees everything. But he sees us through the lens of the cross and the blood of Jesus, and that's what qualifies us. And that should give us cause to give great thanks, right? Because we know we're not qualified for heaven on our own, right? But Christ and what he's done qualifies us, and we should give thanks for that, just like it says there, right? He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, right? He has qualified us, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. And so how about this? How about we treat this communion like a Thanksgiving meal, where, you know, we're giving thanks, right, with the unleavened bread. We're saying, "Thank you, Jesus, that your body was pierced for me, that your piercing qualified me for heaven." And we say, "Thank you, Jesus, for this juice that represents your blood that was shed for me and qualified me for heaven." Let's let this be a time of thanksgiving, okay? Let me just give thanks for these elements here. Lord, we do thank you for these reminders. And it's in remembering that helps us even fight ingratitude in our lives. Just remembering what Jesus has done for us and how he's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for us on the cross. It's in him that we have eternal life, and nothing can take that away. Nothing can separate us from your love once we are in Christ Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you've never taken communion with us before, the ushers will pass out the unleavened bread and the juice cup. You take one of those if you're a believer, and then just on your own, you'll eat the unleavened bread and drink the cup, and then Becky will be playing some music while you're thinking about these things and maybe praying to the Lord quietly. And then when we're done, then they will collect those cups in a container. So, it's kind of funny that, I haven't done like a message on Thanksgiving in a long time, And while we were, Linda and I were away on our vacation, I was reading a book, and it had one little chapter on gratitude as kind of a discipline in our lives to learn to be more thankful. And in there, this guy shared this study, and he says, Sean Aker, a psychologist who teaches at Harvard, suggests that we can train our brains to become more grateful by setting aside just 5 minutes a day for practicing gratitude. He cites a one-week study in which people were asked to take 5 minutes a day at the same time every day to write down three things they were thankful for. And they didn't have to be bad things, or big things, excuse me, bad things. Wow, that's, you know. Okay, yeah, they didn't have to be big things. Okay, yes, okay, big things. But they had to be concrete and specific, such as, I'm thankful for the delicious Thai takeout dinner I had last night. Or, I'm thankful that my daughter gave me a hug. Or, I'm thankful that my boss complimented my work. And so they were, you know, give specific things, not just I'm thankful for this person, but why, you know, or whatever. And the participants simply expressed thanks for three specific things at the same time every day. And at the end of 1 month, the researchers followed up and found that those who practiced gratitude, including those who stopped the exercise after 1 week, were happier and less depressed. Remarkably, after 3 months, the participants who had part of the one-week experiment were still more joyful and content. Incredibly, after the six-month mark, they were still happier, less anxious, and less depressed. And so the researchers hypothesized that the simple practice of writing down three Thanksgivings a day over the course of a week primed the participants' minds to search for the good in their lives. And I thought, well, that's interesting finding, you know, just in researching gratitude and thankfulness and how it affects our outlook. And they kind of liken it to that phenomenon that you experience when you buy a new car. You know, like when you get a white Honda Civic or something. Well, then all you see around are white Honda Civics. You know, it just seems like, wow, everybody's got one now. No. No, they were already there. Your brain was this kind of primed to be aware of them, right? And the way the psychologists were kind of thinking about it, it's kind of like that. When we are built into our lives, and by the way, what God already wants us to do, which is give thanks, right? If we continue to learn and build this into our lives, we just see blessings everywhere, right? And so... so, you know, this first thing I just want to mention here is that, well, it's not, you know, thankfulness and giving thanks is not just a good idea. You know, we're not just suggesting it because, you know, survey says, but we're saying this because God actually does tell us to give thanks, right? In Psalm 105, verse 1, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples." That's a command. That's a command. And just one of many places, right? And there's probably a one that many of you may know from 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so this is, you know, just we see just from a couple of passages, and there are many more. If you just search the word, or the phrase, you know, thanksgiving or give thanks, it's just, you know, I think it's at least commanded 100 times, at least commanded 100 times in the scripture to give thanks, right? So when we do this, as we learn to grow in giving thanks, then what's going to happen is we're just going to be more in God's will. That's what he wants, you know, whenever we're doing what he's asking us to do, we're in his will. And there are all kinds of blessings that come from doing that, right? One of which is just that giving thanks draws us near to God. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but take a look at this scripture here. Psalm 22, verse 3. "Yet you are holy, enthroned," or an alternate translation here would be, "or dwelling in the praises of Israel." So praise, right, is a way of thanking God for something, or praising Him for who He is, or whatever, for what He's done. Praise is actually a form of thanksgiving, and this says that God inhabits or dwells in the praises of His people. So, I would presume for that, when we give thanks, in a sense, we experience more closely the nearness of God. Okay? Now, yes, I know the Spirit's in me. Yes, I know God's everywhere. Yes. However, we do get these snapshots in Scripture where God is described as near. Okay? And when we have an attitude of praise and thanksgiving, He is near. Isn't that cool? And so this is not just true corporately, but just privately, right? Just in our own walk with God, right? If you and I are developing more and more just a thankful heart, a heart of gratitude, then what's going to happen is we are going to experience in our walk His nearness. How about this one? You probably heard this one before. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and in His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Right? Well, God's people would sing this as they're going, right, to the temple. Right? Well, and what was the temple? But a symbol of God's presence, right? And His nearness. So as they were coming close to God, they were singing His praises. They were giving thanks. And so, you know, I think what we just need to see is that, you know, remind ourselves that, you know, giving thanks is actually a command, and that when we do it, we actually are experiencing His nearness. And lastly, when we have a thankful heart and when we are giving thanks, it's a pathway to peace. It really is. When we are looking at our circumstances and able to thank the Lord. And it's not like we're, you know, go back to my misspeaking. We're thanking the Lord for bad things. No, we're thanking for His help in the bad things, right? We're thanking for how He provides for us in those tough situations. That's giving thanks in all circumstances, right? Not just when things are going great, right? Or as you planned, you know? But just in all circumstances. And it is a pathway to peace. Here in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which you may have heard of before, but just a wonderful verse and promise. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Look, with thanksgiving. Sometimes I kind of go right over that and say, okay, I'm just going to prayer. Okay, well, that's good. But prayer with thanksgiving, with the heart of thanksgiving, with the heart of praise, right? He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, right? So when we come to prayer with thanksgiving, the result is, He says, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, if you've not already highlighted that in your Bible or circled it or starred it or committed it to your memory, you should, because this is a wonderful promise from God, okay? And so, you know, that this prayer with thanksgiving, is critical, all right? It really is. You know, this is the time of year when probably stress goes off the charts for some people. Sometimes it's because of the family stress, or they know they're going to encounter a family person X who always pushes your buttons, right? Whatever they may be, or whatever. I don't know what is causing. Maybe the stress for you this year is because someone is not here who used to be here, right? That can create stress, just, you know, sorrow, right? And so let us go to the Lord, right, and give thanks in all circumstances. And that really is a grace to be able to do that, right? That to ask, even asking the Lord for the grace to give thanks, right? To have a right heart, right? Because we can sometimes be like that kid who on Christmas Day, somebody gave them underwear and socks, right? And the mom or dad says, now you thank your grandmother or grandfather for those things right now, you know? and they're, thanks a lot for the underwear. You know, and their heart's not in it, but the words are coming out, right? And yeah, everybody's, we've all felt that before, maybe. But anyway, just that, you know, we need God's grace even to have the right heart, right? And so, and sometimes that's the only prayer you can offer is, Lord, help me get my heart in the right place. That's a great prayer, right? If your heart's not in that place where you're being thankful, say, Lord, I want to be in the place of being able to give thanks with my whole heart, right? With my whole heart, not just with my lips. But, you know, I will say this, particularly with me, with singing songs that are giving praise to God or thanking him for who he is or what he's done or whatever, even if my heart's not in that place where the words in the song are, a lot of times by singing the song, it helps me be in that place. Have you experienced that? Right? And so that I think that's an element of faith. Saying, God, I know you are these things, even though I'm not feeling those things. I know you're faithful, even though my heart is anxious, and I'm going to sing this truth about you. Right? And that's just good. Music is good. Praise music, worship music that gets our focus on God and sings truth is really what we need, because sometimes it puts our heart there. I remember taking a class at the Vineyard one time when I was going through the Vineyard Leadership Institute, and they had some person come in, and they were talking about certain elements of the monastic life, you know, where there a lot of monks are very disciplined in prayer, okay? And you can poo-poo whatever you want on certain things that are, you know, people escaping reality or whatever, but I would say, grand say, not every monk is doing that, okay? But I will say this, is that, you know, I used to think that praying pre-written prayers was a total farce and a total fake. But I will say this, how is that any different than singing a song that you don't feel? It's not any different. As long as the prayer is true and speaking truth, I could pray that prayer and say, Lord, I want to be where that prayer is. You hear me? And it's no different. It's really no different. This attitude of thanksgiving as we learn, we got to see it is something that we're growing in. We're never going to arrive in it. We're going to have our ups and downs in it, but we just need to see that, hey, this is where the Lord wants us to be, and so on. So let's talk about how to cultivate this. We've looked at maybe some reasons why we should be doing this, right? But what about ways that we can cultivate it? Well, really, we need to fight forgetfulness. And because when we remember what God has done in our lives, and we remember answers to prayer, or just how he's intervened in their lives or showed up in situations, even, you know, if you reflect over your week or something, you say, oh, yeah, that was, you know, sometimes we don't even see it when it's happening. But, you know, that was God in that, right? As we remember, we are developing a thankful heart. Think about the Israelites in the Old Testament, right? You know, here they are. They got delivered from slavery, 400 years of slavery. God providing direction and guidance miraculously by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud pillar in the daytime, right? Daily miracles of being fed. And they're complaining, right? They're whining and complaining. You know, kind of getting tired of that manna, you know? At least maybe we could have some barbecue manna today or something, you know? And they're just complaining. But you know what? A lot of that is because they have forgotten already what God has delivered them from. They have not remembered. It's like we all have these short memories, and mine's getting shorter, right? We have to find ways to help us remember what God has done. Because when we do, it's like the antidote to ingratitude is remembering. Okay, remembering. It's also the antidote to the comparison game. Because when do we start feeling ungrateful? When we start comparing ourselves with other people and see what they have, what we don't have, or whatever. But when we think about, remember what God has done for us, and we do look at the blessings He has given us, it helps us fight against that comparison game. I was thinking, too, that sometimes that our ingratitude can be because we have a sense of entitlement. We think that, you know, we should just have the no problems, you know, or that my life should be just like this life over here or whatever. That's just not the way it is. I'm not entitled to that. In fact, you know, I'm not really entitled to anything. You know, as a follower of Jesus, in a sense, I give up my rights and say I'm following Jesus, and that He is graciously supplying everything I need, right? And so we can become blind to God's grace. And when we do that, that's when thankfulness goes out the window. When we're just not aware of the grace of God in our lives, right? And sometimes what we need to do is just be more reflective, even in a given day, right? Even in a given day, thinking about, you know, where did I need God's grace today? Where did it show up? You know, where did I see God at work in my life today? And you give thanks for that, right? And so we have to fight this forgetfulness. These scriptures here, Deuteronomy 8, you know, Deuteronomy, one of the key words that always keeps popping up in Deuteronomy is remember, remember, don't forget, remember. I'm like, okay, I got it. Or not, right? Deuteronomy 8, 17, 18 says, beware lest you say in your heart, God tells the people of God, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth, right? So be careful that you might say, hey, look what I've done, right? You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And this is just one of many instances you'll find in the book of Deuteronomy where the Lord tells His people, don't forget. You know, when you go into the land, the promised land, and everything's going great, don't forget. Don't forget that I brought you here. Don't forget, I'm the source of the blessing, right? Now, another way we can, you know, so this is just not forgetting. We got to have some way of remembering some things, the things that the Lord has done. But one way also that's helpful in developing this is just speaking about what we're thankful of, whether it's in prayer to God or whether it's to other people, right? This verse here, it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to Him. So the psalmist is saying, I thank God by singing to Him. Okay? It doesn't matter how good you can sing, right? But he's just saying, you know, an expression and a way to develop and cultivate a thankful heart is by singing to God. Singing to God. Right? Maybe in your car when no one else is listening, or in your house when no one else is listening, or maybe when they are listening, you know, it depends on how bold you are, right? But sing, right, with, you know, sing songs that give thanks to God for things, right? Now, when we talk about our private walk with God, if you will, our own devotional times, maybe, Daniel comes to mind. In the book of Daniel, right, one of the things that happens there is that the king makes an edict, right, that that everybody is to, at a certain time of the day when they hear a sound, right, they're going to bow to this statue of the king, right? And Daniel has gotten word of the edict in this verse, and he's just going to go ahead and do his normal prayer thing anyway, okay? Anyway, despite that. Even though others have told the king, hey, Daniel, you know what? Our king, that Daniel guy, he ignores your edict and he just prays to his God. Okay? So in Daniel 6, verse 10, it says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, the edict of the king, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. So Daniel's a great example of someone who three times a day prayed and gave thanks to God. not a bad model, right? What about, you know, think about this. Everybody usually eats three times a day. I usually eat more than that, okay? But I know I'm at least got three meals coming, all right? And so how about not just saying, you know, whatever it is, if you do pray, I hope you do give thanks to God as the provider of that, okay? But just taking a moment in that time before you dive in to thank the Lord, even just for what's happened that day, okay? Or if you're having a hard time with thankfulness, give a prayer for help, okay? Three times, you know? I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's great. You know, Daniel, I'm not saying it's a thus saith the Lord, you got to do it, you know, but I'm saying it's a great model. Daniel was a prayer. He was a disciplined man in prayer, and he knew the Lord. He had this close walk with God. And here he is three times a day praying and giving thanks before God. Okay? Now, you know that verse that we looked at earlier here, that Psalm 57:9, where it says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, right? I just thought, you know what? We can't give a message on Thanksgiving that has not only a private component about how to do that, but also the Word of God tells us to do it publicly in our gathering, to give thanks to God in our gathering, right? And so we're going to take a few minutes here, and we have Mr. Microphone, okay, that we're going to pass around to those that just simply like to offer a very simple thank you, God, for whatever it is. Okay, it doesn't have to be a long story. We're not looking for that. Just pray. It's like you're talking to God, but we're here listening, okay? I got three examples of my own up here just to kind of let you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not trying to make anybody do anything. We're not going to say, you know, okay, now you have to speak. Here's the mic. No, just think about this. You know, on the card that, I don't know if you got this card that we passed out today, but the one verse on there really got me this week, Psalm 69:30. I will honor God with thanksgiving. When we thank God, not only privately, but in the midst of his people, God is honored. He's honored, okay? So there's some areas that you can think about: spiritual blessings he's given you, material blessings he's blessed you with, relational blessings, whatever it is. These are things you could be thinking about. But I got three quick prayers just to give you examples. And I was thinking through, I got this idea from Max Lucado. He went down the alphabet in a sermon he gave on Thanksgiving. He went down the alphabet because the previous week he had thought through the alphabet and used those letters to kind of say, what begins with the letter A that I'm thankful for, right? And so, no, I didn't do all the letters. We're not doing 26. I did three, all right? Here's one. A few things I'm thankful for. And this is what, you know, if I had the mic, and I do, I would say, thank you, God, for helping my daughter-in-law, Abby, feel better and giving her a new dog that is like honey to her soul. And I'm thankful for that, very thankful for that. That's a God thing, you know? So that was my A. B is Bible. You know, if you're a preacher, you got to give B is Bible. And I've just said, Father, thank you for the Bible. Your word always guides me, consoles me. I don't know what I'd do without it. It puts words to my feelings, and it corrects me when I'm off course. God's word is so faithful. I'm thankful for that. Lastly, I'm thankful for fans. That was the letter F for me, okay? Now, this sounds strange, okay? But I am thankful for fans or even apps that sound like a fan, okay? Because at some point in my life, I had trouble sleeping. Every little noise started to wake me up. And I just said, thank you, God, for fans, because that little background noise helps me sleep, all right? It's nothing big. These things don't have to be big, but it's just something that you're thankful for, okay? So what we're going to do now, just going to say, hey, does anybody want to thank God for something? Doesn't have to be a long story. Doesn't have to be big. Doesn't have to be small. Yeah. You just start passing the mic around. Here you go.
I'm thankful that my eye has gotten much better this week. I'm able to drive for the first time starting on Friday for a little bit. So it's been a big change for me.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I wanted to thank you for my wife Deborah and our kid, my kids Isaac and Charlotte, and our new one on the way. Lord, I am so blessed that you have given me such a wonderful and loving family.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
I'm not trying to make this a commercial, but I am really thankful for the Wednesday prayer group that has been meeting at Julie Roy's. There's just something about regularly praying, and for women to pray together is real special, and so that's been a real blessing to me personally.
Thank you, God, for that. Yes, it's good. Amen. Who else? Anybody else?
I'm thankful for the truth of salvation and that his truth has set me free.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
I thank the Lord for being here today with my family and for my family.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for God's healing in my life.
Amen. Yes, thank you. Back there.
I'm thankful for all the prayers that went out for my niece Sarah and the awesome news. She still has a little bit of a challenge ahead of her, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the saints' prayers. It's great. Awesome.
I'm thankful that God isn't like man, or I would have got cut off a long time ago.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
I'm just thankful for my church family.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you.
My son walked away from church a number of years ago, and it's hard to talk to him about the Lord, but I'm very thankful that this week I had an opportunity to pray out loud with him, for him, and that he was grateful for that. He was glad that somebody did that for him.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Anybody else? Right here.
I'm thankful that our baby sleeps through the night and we can sleep.
Yes! Woo! You don't even need a fan, do you? There you go. Thanks, Charlie.
Save that knee. I'm thankful my eyesight's coming back.
Amen. Anybody else? Andrea's up here too. Go ahead.
I'm thankful for my husband, a good Christian man that the Lord has given me, and no pressure, husband. Do you have anything to be thankful about?
I thank the Lord for my wife.
Yes.
And also for health and providing for us.
Yes. Awesome. Yes.
I am thankful for my amazing husband and daughters, and that Amber is coming home today.
Awesome. Yay.
After her 11-month mission trip, and I'm just very grateful. God has blessed us so abundantly.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm thankful for the going to the doctor, and my eye is completely healed after surgery.
Wow.
And thankful for Maggie, because I wouldn't be here if Maggie hadn't have brought this church to my attention and my wife's attention, and we're grateful for her. So, and many, many other blessings. Thank you.
Well, here with a dog of church with my family.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen.
I was in an automobile accident last month, and I was just praising God that God inspired somebody to invent airbags, because the airbag saved me, I believe. So thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you. Andrea?
I'm thankful for Team Andrea, who drives me everywhere. And that team is huge. Greg and Charlie every day. Darlene, Becky, everybody. And I'm thankful for the guys who knows how to clean out gutters. And it's just so great to be surrounded by people who ask you things. What do you need? And I've learned to tell them, which I'm also thankful for.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Okay, one more? Yep. Sure. One more, and then we'll give thanks. Yeah.
Well, I'm thankful that that God hears and answers prayer, and that, well, I guess I'm combining three into one, and that God spoke to Pastor Charlie and Mackenzie's heart, and they came to my house and invited me to church, and that's why I'm here today.
Awesome. Thanks, God. Awesome. Okay. It's good. It's encouraging. You know, we have to, we need that, right? Not just even in a formal setting like this, but we need to tell others, each other, what we're, you know, just thankful for what God is doing, because we forget, and so that can be a reminder, right? We can give thanks with that person, just like you were doing. You were clapping every time somebody thanked God for something, as we can rejoice with each other, and we can be reminded of how God is, who he is, how he operates, and it just, you know, and that might just be what you need. And so, you know, so I don't know how it's going to be for you to you know, develop this to be more of a habit in your life. Some people have, it's interesting. I think it was a few years ago where these gratitude journals became very popular, whatever. I don't care how you do it, but whether it's three times a day at your meal, whether it's like the prayer of examine for some people at the end of the day, the prayer of examine, what they do is one aspect is you look back over your day and you review it and you see what is there to be thankful for, right? So you decide how that's going to be more a part of your life, but just know that it is what the Lord wants, and it's so easy to kind of go into complaining mode. I'm just confess, it just is, right? It's almost like the default. And you think about it, isn't that kind of what Satan tempted Adam and Eve with? Hey, you know, you really don't have everything. You know, he's withholding that one tree, you know? He's sowing seeds of ingratitude, right? And so just realize it's the enemy who wants to do that, okay? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing, what you have done, all these things that were shared just in brief, little sentences, just and there's stories to probably each sentence that was said. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are intimately acquainted with all of our ways. You are not some God who's far removed. You draw near. Lord, we just pray, even just in this last song we're going to sing, Lord, help us to just give you our everything and to praise you with our lips and in song. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.